Unit 2. Founding of English Colonies in North America, 1607-1763. Page 11. Structure. 2.0. Objectives. 2.1. Introduction. 2.2. Factors leading to English settlements. 2.2.1. Newer opportunities. 2.2.2. Urge to religious freedom. 2.2.3. Urge to political freedom. 2.3. Jamestown and Plymouth settlements. 2.4. The New England colonies. 2.5. The Southern colonies. 2.6. The Middle colonies. 2.7. English and the Native Americans. 2.8. Conflict with French and Spanish settlers. 2.9. Let us sum up. 2.10. Glossary. 2.11. For further reading. This unit has been structured as indicated above for your easy understanding of the content part. Page 12. 2.0. Objectives. A study of this unit will enable you to understand the following facts. Englishmen founded 13 colonies between 1607 and 1632. Englishmen took great risks in founding American colonies. They were motivated by economic and religious factors. The colonies were founded on the Atlantic side of the continent. The success of Jamestown and Plymouth led to further colonization. England had to face many challenges in the colonies, particularly from the Native Americans. France and Spain attempted to thwart the English attempts to colonize. 2.1. Introduction. The English settlers who arrived in North America had to face many difficulties. The crossing of the Atlantic in small and unreliable ships was fraught with great risks. In the early settlements, hunger was common. The new opportunities that the new land provided motivated these early settlers to bear these hardships. The successful founding of the early settlements motivated more Englishmen to arrive, and newer settlements came up. As the settlements developed, the English colonists had to face the competing French and the envious Spanish, apart from constant threat from Native Americans. This unit will tell you all about this. 2.2. Factors leading to English settlements. Many factors led to American colonization by Englishmen. The vast economic opportunities, the chance to own land, desire to religious freedom, and to escape the political oppression. Thousands of Englishmen with families started arriving into English colonies of North America. 2.2.1. New opportunities. The English colonists came to America seeking better opportunities which were not available in England. In the early 17th century, ordinary citizens rarely owned arable land. Church and the nobility owned most of the land. Peasants were mere agricultural laborers without any hope of owning any land. Page 13. In many cases, even owning a house was a difficult proposition. In the late 16th century, much of the arable land was lost due to enclosure movement. Due to greater demand for raw wool, sheep rearing had become highly profitable. The nobles fenced off much of the landed property and started rearing sheep, thereby depriving many thousand peasant tenants of their livelihood. During this enclosure movement, many thousand peasants lost their lands and houses and became wanderers seeking odd jobs. The authorities treated such peasants harshly. These peasants were prepared to migrate to America, which they hoped will provide them land of their own. 16th century also witnessed thousands of rural folks migrating to cities as the pressure on land increased. The cities provided jobs and quality life conditions. The population of London increased from 1.5 lakhs to 3.5 lakhs between 1600 to 1650. By the end of the century, English cities had become crowded, filthy, unhealthy, and disease affected. Housing problem increased and job opportunities also dwindled. The city dwellers wanted to escape from the din and bustle. As the news of rich forests, plenty of fish, vast arable land in America spread, many Englishmen wanted to migrate. The English merchants and the newly created joint stock companies were willing to sponsor the migrant laborers. 2.2.2. Urge to religious freedom. In the 16th century, religious intolerance was practiced by the English government. In 1535, the church in England was separated from the Roman Catholic Church. The separated church in England came to be called the Anglican Church. According to then prevailing laws in England, people living in England had to subscribe to the Anglican faith. Under the English laws, the Pope was no longer the supreme head of the Anglican Church. Instead, the King or the Queen of England became the head of the Anglican Church. Englishmen were required to support the church by making money contributions. There were many Englishmen who were reluctant to accept Anglican Church. They preferred to remain as Roman Catholics. For these people, the Pope was the true head of the Roman Catholic Church and declined to accept the English monarch as their religious head. Many of these dissenters had no belief in what the Anglican Church said. There were others who disagreed with both Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Church. They thought both were one and the same as far as elaborate rituals were concerned. Such people wanted the religious services to be simplified. Page 14. There were some with the Anglican Church who wanted to purify the English Church by banishing music, elaborate religious rituals and expensive dresses of the priest. These members of the Anglican Church were referred to as Puritans. Within this Puritan group, further schism occurred and the breakaway group was called as Separatists. The Separatists founded new churches independent of the Anglican and Puritan churches. The English monarch was apprehensive of disagreement within the church. Such disagreements, he thought, would lead to disorder. So the English monarchs began to persecute those who did not belong to the Anglican Church. The English monarchs many a times jailed those who conducted religious services outside the Anglican Church. There were also instances where the properties of such dissenters were confiscated by the state. In few cases, even death penalties were imposed by the English courts on dissenters. Such religious persecutions motivated many to migrate to America, where they thought they can enjoy religious freedom. 2.2.3. Urge to political freedom. Compared to other European countries, England was more democratic in the 16th century. English people had more voice in the governance of the country than their contemporaries elsewhere. In spite of this, there were many men and women who thought that the English monarchy was threatening their rights. The 17th century English monarchs, particularly James I and his son Charles I, claimed divine right to rule. These monarchs believed that the English must not question them. These monarchs disregarded the parliament and went ahead by levying harsh taxes and imposed religious restrictions. Disgusted by such high-handed attitude of the English monarchs, many Englishmen contemplated of leaving England. These people thought that America was a place where they can live without any unnecessary interference from the monarch or the government. 2.3. Jamestown and Plymouth settlements. In the early 17th century, the English founded two settlements in North America. In the beginning, the settlers had to face many challenges. The mosquitoes, the cold winter, and shortage of food killed many early settlers. Eventually, the settlements survived as the colonists learned to live with local conditions. Jamestown and Plymouth were the two earliest English settlements in North America. Page 15. Jamestown Colony. The first merchant company to sponsor English settlers to go to America was the London Company, which was a joint stock company founded with the purpose of trading with America. In 1607, some 100 men boarded 3 small ships and sailed to North America. They reached Chesapeake Bay between Virginia and Maryland and discovered a mouth of a river. They selected a place and there built a small village and named it Jamestown after James, the King of England, and the river as James. The area where the village was situated was a swamp infested with mosquitoes. Even the river water was not potable. The mosquitoes and the contaminated water took heavy toll. The settlers had also to face attacks from the Indians. By autumn, because of disease and hunger, 2/3 of the settlers had died. The settlers had to negotiate with Indians to sell them corn. Many of the settlers were reluctant to work. Hence, the rule, no work, no food, was imposed. However, the situation went from bad to worse. The situation forced the settlers to return to England. But however, on the eve of their return, they met ship from England which carried supplies and skilled laborers as well. In 1619, a ship load of women also arrived. Many settlers got married and raised families. Thereafter, the settlement began growing in strength. One of the settlers, John Rolfe, married an Indian princess. This matrimonial alliance led to peace between the Indians and the English settlers. John Rolfe also became a pioneer in raising tobacco in the colony, which had been named Virginia. The Virginia tobacco was the finest quality, and soon the demand for this commodity increased in England. Tobacco crop was extended and new settlers also started arriving. In 1619, a Dutch ship brought 20 Africans as indentured laborers. These were the first black colonists who subsequently became celebrated as American slaves. As more people arrived, the Jamestown grew into full-fledged colony. Since Jamestown was a settlement of the London Company, the colony was governed by the company officials. As the population grew, the company allowed the settlers to elect their representatives to speak for the colonists. These Virginia representatives met in an assembly called the House of Burgesses. By 1625, this house took many of the decisions of the Virginia government. This was the first representative government in North America. Page 16. Within quarter of a century, the English settlers had begun governing themselves. Plymouth Colony. A few separatists left England in 1607 to Leiden, a city in Holland, to escape the restrictions imposed by the English government on people not belonging to the Anglican Church. These migrants were called as the Pilgrims. The Pilgrims came to Holland assuming that they can follow their faith without any hindrance. But they found soon that they were not happy in Holland, a strange country. They had to learn Dutch at the cost of English. They also had difficulty in finding jobs. At this juncture, they heard about the opportunities existing in America, so they decided to migrate to the New World. After the decision was made to migrate to America, a few of them returned to England to organize the voyage. The London Company came forward to provide for a ship and required supplies, and in return, the Pilgrims agreed to become indentured servants of the company for 7 years. In September 1620, some 35 pilgrims and 60 other migrants boarded a small ship, the Mayflower. Their destination was Virginia. But a storm blew the Mayflower far to the north, and the crew landed at Cape Cod in present-day Massachusetts. Since this was not a colony owned by the London Company, the new migrants decided to stay back in the same area. This also meant the contract with the company was not applicable. This led to the migrants to organize among themselves to manage their affairs. Hence, the leaders of the migrants met in the cabin of the Mayflower and agreed to govern themselves. This agreement is called the Mayflower Compact, which became the basis of self-government for the new migrants. The settlement these people created was called the Plymouth, the town in England to which the Pilgrims belonged to. Like the settlers in Virginia, the migrants at Plymouth had to face a severe cold winter which took toll of half the settlers in Plymouth. But the settlers did not give up. Soon they befriended the Native Americans who taught them the art of hunting and harvesting lobsters and clams from the sea. The natives also taught them how to plant corn and harvest it. After the first harvest, the Pilgrims set aside a day to celebrate their luck and the survival. They also invited their Native American Indians to join in the celebrations. This was the beginning of the Thanksgiving feast, which the Americans celebrate even today. Page 17. The Plymouth settlement never grew into a large township like the Virginia settlement, but it was governed by committed leadership and hence Plymouth remained strong and successful. This success encouraged newer settlers from England to come to America and establish more English colonies. 2.4. The New England Colonies. Plymouth as a colony came up in the northern part of Atlantic coast of North America. This area is called as New England and the colonies which sprang up here are called New England Colonies. Within a few years of the founding of Plymouth, several more colonies were raised in New England. After Plymouth, the colony that was established was Massachusetts Bay Colony. This colony developed because of the migration of Puritans who wanted religious freedom. After obtaining a charter from the English monarch in the name of Massachusetts Bay Company, 17 ship load of migrants arrived in Massachusetts Bay. More ships of migrants followed, and by the year end, there were more than 1,000 Puritans in the new settlement in and around the present day city of Boston. As in the case of other settlers, the migrants in Boston area also had to face many difficulties. Farming in New England was a new experience because of the rocky soil. This factor prompted the settlers in New England colonies to take up trade and commerce as their profession. Subsequently, many industries also were started in New England. In the next 10 years, new migrants arrived in large numbers. By 1640, there were more than 20,000 settlers in the Puritan colony. This colony became more populous, wealthier, and larger than Plymouth colony. Since the Massachusetts Bay settlers had come to North America to practice their religion without any hindrance, they preferred to govern themselves in accordance with their religion. The settlers had to meticulously adhere to the rules and regulations laid down by the church and by the community. They were reluctant to extend freedom of religious practice to others, though they had sought such a right in England. Naturally, this affected non-Puritans, who were compelled to follow the rules and support the Puritan church. A Puritan preacher by name Roger Williams disagreed with the church and had to flee from Massachusetts Bay Colony in 1636. He moved southwards and reached the present-day Rhode Island and established a colony at Providence. Page 18. Soon, yet another colony of Portsmouth was founded on Rhode Island. The settlers in Rhode Island got the right to worship in their own way. In due course, it became a colony. Yet another dissenting Puritan minister became responsible for the founding of Connecticut Colony. In 1662, Connecticut became a separate colony. The settlers of the north of Massachusetts had many disagreements, but yet in 1679, it was made a separate colony of New Hampshire. 2.5. The Southern Colonies. Around the southern colony of Virginia, other settlements were gradually taking shape. They were Maryland, the North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. Most of these colonies were proprietorial settlements. The land here belonged to individuals sold by huge land owners. These huge tracts of land measuring millions of acres had been granted to nobles of English origin by the English King Charles I. In the 17th century, Catholics were persecuted. Sir George Calvert, the Lord Baltimore, was a Catholic and friend of Charles I. The former was given a huge tract of land measuring 10 million acres by the King Charles I. Calvert's son, Sir Cecilus Calvert, founded the colony of St. Mary's near the mouth of River Potomac. The colony came to be called as Maryland in honor of Queen Henrietta Maria, the wife of Charles I. This colony grew into a prosperous English settlement producing tobacco. In 1649, Maryland enacted the Act of Toleration. This provided freedom of religion to all Christians. However, it did not prevent persecution of Jews and non-Christians. In 1663, Charles II granted a huge stretch of land to some nobles who founded the colony of Carolina. In 1712, the colony of Carolina was bifurcated into two colonies of North Carolina and South Carolina. North Carolina included small farms and tobacco became the chief crop of this colony. South Carolina included the present-day Charleston. This colony grew rapidly only after the arrival of French migrants. Rice was the chief crop of this colony. Charleston subsequently became an important trade center. To the south of Carolina colonies, yet another settlement was founded by James Oglethorpe, who was granted land by the English king. Oglethorpe was an English parliamentarian and a man with great zeal for reforms among poor Englishmen. In the beginning, the development of the colony was slow. Once the strict laws that were in force were relaxed, the colony grew rapidly. This colony came to be named as Georgia in the honor of the King George II, who granted this colony to Oglethorpe. Page 19. 2.6. The Middle Colonies. The land area between New England colonies in the north and the southern colonies was not owned by England, nor the settlements here belonged to the English. Present-day New York and Hudson River area was colonized by the Dutch, and Delaware was a settlement of the Swedes. These settlements came to be called as Middle Colonies. The Dutch were the first settlers on the island of Manhattan in present-day New York. This settlement, founded in 1620s, was called as New Amsterdam. From here, the settlers from Holland moved to other parts, including Hudson River area and Fort Orange. As the Dutch settlements prospered, settlers began to move further south towards River Delaware. The whole colony was named as New Netherland. It prospered further as Dutch engaged in fur trade with the local Red Indians. The English settlers in the north and the south were envious of the prosperous Dutch colony. It was also considered as a challenge to the English settlements nearby. It also came in the way of direct contact between the New England colonies and the southern colonies. The fine harbor of New Amsterdam was also a great attraction for the English. In 1664, the colonial rivalry led to a war in Europe between England and Holland. The same year, English warships entered the New Amsterdam port. The governor of Dutch colony, Peter Stuyvesant, wanted to fight it out, but the settlers refused to support the tyrannical governor, and hence, without any resistance, the colony surrendered to the English. The Dutch colony was renamed New York after Duke of York, the brother of King Charles II. Further, Duke of York was made the proprietor of the newly acquired colony. Subsequently, the New York colony was divided into two separate colonies, namely New Jersey and New York. In 1682, Pennsylvania was founded by William Penn. He was the son of a wealthy admiral and an English Quaker. Quakers were one of the most bitterly persecuted religious groups in England. To clear the loan King Charles II had raised from Penn's father, the land laying between the west of River Delaware and the present-day states of New York and Maryland was given in grant to the son. Charles II insisted that the new colony be named after the father of William Penn. Hence Pennsylvania, meaning Penn's Woodlands. The settlers, led by Penn, laid the foundation of Philadelphia. By the turn of the 17th century, Philadelphia grew into a great trading center. Page 20. 2.7. English and the Native Americans. In the beginning, the Native Americans were friendly with the English settlers. In fact, the former had taught the English settlers many trades which they were not aware of, but was essential to survive in the new environment. The settlers knew very little about the West beyond the frontiers of their small villages. However, as the population grew in the settlements, and for such other reasons like adventure, urge to live independently of community laws, attraction of cheap land, fur trade, hunting, etc., the settlers began to move westwards. The men and women who undertook such westward movement are called as pioneers. The Native Americans resented the occupation of forest land for farming and the destruction of game by English settlers. As the number of pioneers increased, friction between the Native Americans and the pioneers became inevitable. Many a times, the pioneers violated the agreements related to land with the Native Americans. The settlers also considered the natives as savages without understanding much about their traditions and customs. Throughout the 17th century, the clashes continued to occur. In the 1630s, a series of battles occurred between the two, which caused loss of men and materials for both the parties. Whenever the Native Americans attacked, the settlers reacted savagely. In 1675, several Native groups collectively attacked English colonies. The Native group was led by Wampanoag Chief Metacomet, also known as King Philip. 2.8. Conflict with French and Spanish settlers. The French were the first adventurers to go beyond the Appalachian Mountains. Whatever lands they explored, they claimed as French colony. In course of the 17th century, the French claimed a vast area in North America and named it New France. The early French explorers were friendly with the Native Americans and had trade relations with them. The French missionaries also could convert a few Indians to Christianity. However, because of many compulsions, the population of New France did not grow rapidly as in the case of English settlements. In the first place, the colony was directly ruled by the King of France. He did not permit self-government for New France, and land was given only to the nobles. Common people were by this way discouraged from migrating to New France. Hence, farming was rare in French colony. Most of the French in America lived as traders and hunters. Page 21. The New France lay to north and west of English settlements along the Atlantic coast. The New France included much of present-day Canada and the land lying between Lake Michigan to the Gulf of Mexico along the River Mississippi. Quebec, built on the higher levels of Lawrence River, was the first French settlement. In 1630s, it had a population of just 100 colonists. Montreal was another French settlement which began as a French trading center in an Indian town. In 1718, New Orleans was founded near the mouth of Mississippi. The French settlements grew slowly in contrast to quick development of English colonies. During the 17th and the 18th centuries, the French were apprehensive of English westward expansion. Hence, during this period, the French goal was to keep the English confined to the Atlantic coast so that they can continue to hold New France and carry on the lucrative fur trade. To this end, they befriended the native Indians and provided them with guns and other weapons and encouraged them to attack the English settlements. The French also built a series of forts along the western line of English colonies. With the English attempt to push westward, a clash between the French and English had become imminent. Unlike the French, the Spanish settlers were hostile to English design of expansion. In fact, the English founded Georgia as the southernmost colony to prevent northward expansion of the Spanish, who were already settled in Florida. However, the Spanish had already claimed Georgia. An English settlement in this area naturally enraged the Spanish government. In this issue, the Spanish and English colonists fought a war in 1739. James Oglethorpe, who was the governor of Georgia, was friendly with the local Indians who helped him during the war. The war continued for 10 years until peace was concluded in 1748. 2.9. Let us sum up. The beginning of the 17th century, thousands of settlers came to English colonies because of enclosure movement, religious persecution, and desire to self-government. Some also came for the unlimited economic opportunities American continent offered. Jamestown in Virginia was founded in 1607. In 1620, Plymouth was founded. In 1619, self-government came into being in Virginia. The colonists in Plymouth had already agreed in the Mayflower Compact to pass laws to benefit the whole colony. Page 22. Puritans founded Massachusetts Bay Colony in 1630. Because of harsh religious conditions of the Puritans, dissenters founded the colony of Rhode Island. In South, Maryland was founded by Lord Baltimore as a refuge for the English Catholics. The Carolina colony was divided into North and South Carolina. Georgia was founded by Oglethorpe. The English colonies had to face many challenges on their frontiers. The constant attacks of the Native Americans, the French plan to confine the English colonies to the Atlantic coast, and the Spanish wars were some of the major challenges which the English faced successfully. 2.10. Glossary. Dissenter, one who disagreed with the Church of England, Huguenots, French Protestants, frontier, unsettled areas, pioneers, first men and women who went to frontier settlements. 2.11. For further reading, Parks H.B., A History of USA, Gibson L.H., The Coming of the Revolution, 1763 to 1775. With this, we come to the end of Unit 2, which was written by Dr. G. Ramarathan.